your pew Bible to James chapter 3, verse 13 to chapter 4, verse 3, and then 7 and 8. So we'll be jumping a bit. You can listen along or try and follow along as best you can. As we're doing that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the love that you've shown us and for being here with us today and for giving to us a lamp unto our feet, your word, your light, your Son Jesus. Open up our eyes and hearts that we may be drawn closer to you more and more. And dear Lord, we pray that what we receive today is your truth, and anything that is not is forgotten. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. Do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We find ourselves back in the book of James, the book that is in many ways the churchgoer's handbook, the handbook to Christianity, the way to live in life. It's concerned with how you think about God and what you think about Jesus Christ. Those are very important to it, but it's also concerned and very straightforward focus throughout the book is how you live what you think, what your actions look like. How do you be a Christian in the world that we live in today? And in many parts of James, it's also concerned with how do we be Christians amongst each other? How is it our gatherings look? How do we live with one another in this Christian community that we call the church? This particular scripture has guided me throughout my life for many, many years as a pastor, but not only that, as a father and as a husband, because it has shown me something that I've never seen before, or I never wanted to see before, or I thought, frankly, was wrong. This particular scripture is about wisdom and what it means to be wise. And many of us like to think ourselves as wise in many ways, or we try to be wise, not wise guys, although some of us are wise guys, or there's other terms for it. And that tends to annoy people more than anything. But most of us like to live in such a way where we want people to know what we're doing. We want to seem wise, like we know what steps to take next. We want to live in such a way where our actions are meaningful and helpful and don't waste people's times. We want to live in such a way where we draw attention not to ourselves but to God. We want to live in such a way where we make the best use of everything that God gives us. We want to be wise. Isn't that what wisdom is? a working knowledge? Isn't wisdom you're able to take what you know and use it in an action that is beneficial both to those around you and to God? We want to be able to be good instruments and good tools for God's use. And so I aspire to be that way. And in all instances, in all situations, I wanted to be that person that people could rely on, that people can trust, that people can look to in order to find direction. But what it turned out to be is that I wanted it to be all about me. Stephanie said something very important to me when I did one of my first weddings. Because, you know, a wedding, as the minister, you're standing up here, and you are the center, you know, and then the couple are looking at each other, and they're below you right here. And I said some things, expressing some ideas or some thoughts, and she said, you know, it's not all about you. You know, that's a terrible phrase that no one likes to hear. It's not all about you. Because what it came to in my life and sometimes in our lives is that we think it's all about us. And so when I would lead meetings and brainstorm about things, you know, I would get these ideas and I would express them and talk. And if no one listened to my ideas, I felt hurt and betrayed because I thought, it's all about me. Then I read this scripture several years ago, and it was a description of the godly kind of wisdom, and something in it particularly stood out to me like nothing ever did before. And it says, but the wisdom that came from above is first of all pure. Understand that? Peaceable, got that. Gentle, got that. Full of mercy, I can get that, and good fruits without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Got all that. You know, wisdom's about being kind and about being nice and about helping other people and about guiding them to Jesus Christ. But then there's this one part that always sunk me, and wisdom that comes from above is willing to yield. That the wisdom isn't always about getting your way, putting your ideas forward. It's not about saying that you have the best ideas and that you're always right. Sometimes wisdom is able to say, it's not about me. It's able to back off and just do what we did with the children's chat today. Be silent. To allow space to work in order for God to exist. To not always put ourselves in there, but realize that there's a time for us to let God do God's thing. To say, you know, I wasn't put on this earth in order to have the earth revolved about around me. That was placed on this earth in order to praise Christ and to point my finger towards the Creator, the one who is with us, who guides us, who forgives us, who's given us salvation. It's not all about me. It's about Jesus. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that this thing called the Christian walk or the Christian life or the church, that we start to think about how can the church serve me? What do I get out of the church? How am I filled up? And then the wisdom that God gives us asks us in part to be willing to pull away from being the center of attention and to say instead, what can I do to draw near to God? What can I do to give of myself to Jesus Christ? How can I live within the church in such a way that is the best use of my talents and abilities that God gave me to serve God? It's not all about us. And if there is any doubt that this kind of wisdom was pointing to things like that, when we move from James 3 to James 4, James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Give yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The book of James is a pain in the butt in so many ways because we hate being reminded it's not all about us. But that we're here to serve God, to love God with our lives and with our hearts, and to reflect each and every day, how can we do that? And then to be silent in the presence of God as God lets us know. So it's not easy, but it's beneficial and rewarding in so many ways. And we praise God for all the opportunities he will give us to serve him and to love him. Please let us sing together as we stand, page 432, Yesu, Yesu. And during the singing of our final hymn, everyone is invited to come down to the altar rail for a time of silent prayer. If you would like me to pray with you, please glance my direction. I will come and pray with you during that time. Please stand.